You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Board of Trustees at Michigan State University know exactly where they stand with the Faculty Senate. By a vote of 61-4, the Faculty Senate approved a vote of no confidence in the board. Andaluna Borchila is an associate professor in the James Madison College at Michigan State University. She was one of the first professors to publicly criticize the MSU administration for the way it handled the Larry Nassar scandal. And she's a member of the Faculty Senate who cast a ballot in that no-confidence vote. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us, how did you vote with the no-confidence vote?
I voted for no confidence in the Board of Trustees.
And why is that? How would you describe the way the board has handled things?
Well, you know, I think that we as faculty have been silent for too long. And I, you know, when the tragedy that was uncovered by, you know, the survivors, the brave survivors, you know, who testified to what had happened to them and to our institution's lack of accountability filled, you know, the television screens and the airwaves. When this abuse, which has spent so many years, was uncovered in front of the whole nation, the Board of Trustees decided not only to keep silent, but to close ranks around Luana Simon. They offered her a raise. I mean, that kind of closing ranks and being loyal to the president is not something that was new. In this particular situation, it just seemed amazing to me. Because the survivor stories, you know, broke a lot of our hearts, and we were looking for leadership, and our students were looking, you know, at us, at faculty, for leadership. And our board just closed ranks around her and proved their loyalty to Luana Simon at the expense of proving their loyalty to our community, to our MSU community, to this institution. It's an institution. It's also a community. And I felt very strongly, I knew it, I could see it, that they were positioning themselves, I said this in a statement that I made yesterday, on the wrong side of history. It was very clear. It was very clear to many people. It was not clear to them. But in addition to that, you know, I went to the board meeting when they accepted Luana's, Simon's resignation. I wanted to hear what they had to say. And I heard it, and one after the other, they said that they had failed, that they had shown lack of leadership, that they had been tone deaf, that they are guilty of not listening. And I kept thinking to myself, if you recognize all these failures, you know, why don't you step down? They didn't, and they promised. They promised that they would listen to students and to, you know, academic governance, to faculty moving forward. And surprise, they did not. So, you know, they were given so many chances, and we counted on them. It wasn't like they were given chances to prove to us something. We counted on them, and they betrayed us. And I think that we as a faculty needed to take a strong stand.
I would say that that vote of 61-4 from the Faculty Senate was what one would call a strong vote.
Yes, oh yes, I would agree to that. But we went in already with a strong mandate, right? We had, of the people who voted, over 86% voting in favor of, you know, the vote of no confidence. And, you know, to tell the truth, I had some anxiety before. I thought, who knows, you know, what's going to happen? Because, you know, people, frankly, and, you know, I don't want to speak for everyone. There's lots of faculty who have been active, and a lot of us do lots of work with our students. We're engaged. We know, you know, what they're going through, and we support them actively. But when it comes to making our voice heard in front of the, you know, as we're speaking to upper administration, we've had some problems with that. And so, to tell you the truth, I had some anxiety because I was also hearing a lot of stuff from faculty, you know, who would say, we're cautious, you know, we're researchers and educators. We don't want to. We have to weigh all the different possibilities. We have to think about what's logical, what's acceptable, what's rational. You know, what's, you know, the better solution? What's the best path to take? And it bifurcated in two ways. One was, it will have no consequence. What's the point? And two was, And if the board steps down, then we're going to be like, you know, a chicken running around without a head and won't know what to do, you know?
Well,
again, it's what really needs to be done.
It's worth noting, Professor Bochila, that you and another professor were the first MSU faculty to step up and call for a vote of no confidence in the Faculty Senate for Luana Simon before she resigned as president.
Yes.
You know, and up until then, we had not heard a lot publicly, at least from professors, about MSU's handling of all this. Why was that, do you think?
You know, I can say a couple of things. You know, I mean, one of the things that I can say, we've been taught in this institution, and I don't think it's unique to this institution of higher education, but I think that it is particularly poignant here, is that we as a faculty, what we think doesn't really matter. I mean, it's like you're acculturated into this, you know. So it doesn't really matter if you're going to say something, because nobody's going to listen to you. I mean, you can be sure, and I'm sure, that people have complained about, for instance, the lack of mental health care for our students, that we have understaffed facilities and student services, and we have, you know, complained about the ways in which, you know, sexual assault is dealt with. I mean, individual people have spoken in different places about this. But the question I think you're asking me now is, why didn't faculty take a stand as the events were unfolding more recently? And to that I can say, you know, again, I don't think we've owned our voice. I don't think we thought that our voice mattered, our collective voice, not our individual voices. And I don't think that the academic governance structure as it is encourages that either.
Do you think that with all of these events, is that changing? Are you hopeful that faculty will have a collective voice that will be listened to?
Well, I certainly hope so. I'm going to do my best for that to happen. I'm using my individual voice and forming alliances with people. And I think that the vote yesterday was a step in this direction of reclaiming our voice. But with the reclaiming of that voice, there's also this issue of now you have to really own it, right? So, you know, you have to own it. You have to own responsibility. You just can't be disconnected, you know, disconnected in your research. But there are lots of pressures that are put on faculty constantly, and they have been ratcheted up. Produce more, produce more, produce more. The educational aspect has decreased. Like the interest of the care in the institution as a whole for the student and for the learning process and the incentives faculty are given to put that as a core mission have decreased radically. And I think that we need to rethink this as well. And as long as we're disconnected by all these ratcheted up requirements from our community because we're trying to meet the expectations set by the upper administration, we will not be able to push forward.
The vote yesterday, Professor Bochila, was non-binding, which means the trustees don't have to go anywhere. So what are you hoping will come out of that no confidence vote?
Personally, I hope they resign. But perhaps as they resign, we can work on policies. We can work on ways of ensuring that there is some kind of a check on what a board can do, and that there is involvement in the process for electing a president, that students and faculty and staff have a voice, not just like lip service in this process, but also we cannot get ourselves let ourselves be mired into the interests of one political party or the other at this point. That's what I hope will happen. And I will be working hard and doing my best, in addition to my main mission, which is teaching my students, to work on this.
Well, speaking of having a voice, you are a part of an emerging grassroots organization on campus called Reclaim MSU. Briefly, what excites you about this group?
What excites me about it, there are a number of things that excite me. One is that I really see it as being, you know, a collective initiative, and it is not a top-down structure. And because it reaches out to people, students and faculty and staff, or has attempted to do so, you know, it's just very, very new, that across the university, it can bring together multiple perspectives that are not, you know, how can I put it? They're not rigidified by being within the academic governance structure, you know? And we don't have to be, our energy is not sort of zapped by, you know, the formalities of, you know, the various structures we function within. So we can think creatively, we can talk about what's going on, we can pull our energy together, you know, and that is exciting to me. And it's a collective thing, so it's not a top-down structure.
Professor Anda Luna Borchila from Michigan State University, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
We turn now to a student who is a co-founder of Reclaim MSU. Natalie Rogers is a second-year student at MSU. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And one of the MSU staffers who is part of this group is Melissa Parson. She is the Operations and Safety Coordinator with the College of Natural Science. Welcome, Melissa.
Thanks very much.
Natalie, Reclaim MSU met last night. What did you talk about?
So last night we talked about our response to the no confidence vote, kind of the next steps, and we talked about just getting more organized as a group. You know, we've been doing this as we go and figuring it out as everything is happening. So just really trying to keep chugging along. We worked on finalizing our mission statement. We're going to have that out soon. That's going to be public. We're getting a website launched, so we just worked on that a little bit. But yeah, just getting ourselves organized and doing as much as we can.
What inspired you, Natalie, to do this effort that calls together faculty, staff, and students?
Well, just for me personally, I saw so much going on in response to everything that was happening. Just so many different groups doing different things, putting out demands, organizing rallies, teach-ins. And I just thought, hey, it would be a lot better if we were all doing this together, not stopping all the things that we're doing, but just coming together so that we can support each other in our vision and in our efforts.
What about overall? What do you feel are the goals of Reclaim MSU?
Our goals aren't necessarily to release another list of demands, but to release actual steps that we can take forward. So like releasing policy briefs, updates, releasing blogs about the structure of the university and how everything works so that all this information is accessible and understandable to the broader community.
Melissa Parson, how long have you been on staff at Michigan State?
Just past 29 years now.
So you have some perspective here. What are your feelings about that vote of no confidence for the Board of Trustees?
I was quite pleased. I hope it moves forward. The staff, from what my perspective is and talking with some coworkers, we are seldom heard or seldom listened to because we're unions, and so people don't speak to each other. It's just sort of catching an email here and there. So that's why I just kind of hooked myself up with Natalie and asked how I can help and be an advocate for the staff here at MSU.
So if I was to ask you how much input and voice that you think staff have had over the years at MSU, what would your answer be?
I'm going to say 10%.
And so what has been the result of that?
It seemed like it was a bit of turmoil in a recent support staff meeting, where it was just for the college, so there was very few people there. It was like, how come everybody keeps saying faculty and students, and what about the staff? What about the staff? And I said, it's exactly what I said, that we are not asked about any new faculty. We're not asked about our opinions. It seems like they just leave us out, maybe because we're associated with unions or something. I'm not quite sure what that reason is, but I'd like to change that culture.
And what do you think MSU leaders and even the public at large, what are they missing when staff voices aren't heard?
You're missing a unity. You're missing over 7,000 people ranging from grounds workers, resident hall, food service workers, custodians, sheep herders. We've got everybody out here. We all have a voice, and I think we just would like to be heard, and also we would also like everyone to know that we care as well about these survivors and how the university can move forward in this darkened day.
And what are you hoping from the staff perspective? What do you hope comes out of Reclaim MSU?
I would hope we can, all the staff at all levels, be able to communicate and have our voices heard by the university and administrators.
Natalie, it is unlikely that interim president John Engler is going anywhere anytime soon, and no signs that the Board of Trustees will either. What do you focus on now?
I think we just focus on, like what Melissa said, just getting our voice heard. If we can't work with the new administration, then we're going to make sure that the administration that we have is listening to what we have to say and actually implementing our demands. You know, it's one thing to just sit down with us and talk with us, but it's another thing to take what we say and do something with it. And I think we're just really going to focus on making sure they do something.
Natalie Rogers is a Michigan State University student and co-founder of the group Reclaim MSU. And Melissa Parsons has been on the staff of MSU for nearly three decades. She was with us via Skype. Melissa Parsons, Natalie Rogers, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing us.